Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock here, WEEI Afternoons on a Wednesday in our beautiful Brighton studios powered by Verizon. And I'm excited when I see a couple Patriots-related three-point stances in the rundown, Fitzy. One about a aged potential future Hall of Famer and one about a young potential future Hall of Famer. So
right.
It's 3 o'clock. Ted's here. He's getting his headphones on, and it's time for the three-point stance.
Green 19!
Ready! 19!
It's the three-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three.
It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got tip scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you forget to censor the S-word in Jaylen Brown's post-game comments, hand up accountability, that's on me. You got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. He just said it so naturally, I can't help it. All right, 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off today. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So a phrase I've always loved but always thinks gets misunderstood is best case scenario. Literally, best case scenario means perfection, right? Like everything works out perfectly. You win the lottery, you marry a hot woman, whatever. In sports, you win every game, you score every point, blah, blah, blah. So coming into the season, if we had asked what's the best case scenario for Drake May and the New England Patriots, if anyone on this radio station had told you, well, Drake May is going to be one of the two or three best quarterbacks in football, he's going to be an odds-on favorite to win the MVP, and he's going to lead the Patriots to not only the best record in the conference, but maybe to the Super Bowl and beyond, you would have said, no, seriously, like, what do you think maybe the best option could be for his development and the evolution of the Patriots? But what has happened? Well, he could win the MVP, and the Patriots are a legitimate contender to win the Super Bowl. So I think that has changed what we need to allow on these radio airwaves in a Disney-like fashion in the future. We can't poo-poo you. If you want to be crazily optimistic, Drake May has made that possible. The old Kevin Garnett, anything is possible. Well, Drake May has updated that because he has shown us that, yes, a quarterback who could barely win, who could barely make plays, and could barely avoid turnovers can turn it around in 1 year and turn his team around with Mike Vrabel in 1 year. So best case scenario is now closer to its literal meaning.
Left the boys speechless, huh. It appears. I think it's interesting to see, because I think at the beginning of the season we looked at Josh Allen's second year stats, for example, and went, all right, that's best case scenario.
Sure.
20 touchdowns, you know, eight picks, whatever it was, 3,000 yards. And we said, yeah, that's the best scenario. And I think we all aligned anywhere between 7 to 8, maybe 9 wins, pushing for a wild card spot. But yeah, to your point, if you said, oh yeah, Drake's the odds on MVP and the Patriots are competing for a Super Bowl, I think the wise ass behind the glass would have gone, no, all right, so give me your actual one,
right,
for this season. That's like, oh yeah, Roman Anthony's your 2026 MVP and the Red Sox are on duck boats next year, which is kind of wild to say, but is being lived up to in New England.
I do wonder, Dan, you bring that up, like, okay, second year Josh Allen, and I'd been frequent to point out that second half of the season he became unlocked and he was really good, and you know, it took a while, but like from that point on, he hasn't turned around and looked back. If Drake May had a Josh Allen second year type of season this year as opposed to a legitimate MVP candidate season, would we have been pleased? Because I think the answer would be yes.
Yeah, I think that was the best case scenario I was kind of looking for, and maybe even similar, like, and even make the playoffs, and maybe you make mistakes to lose on wild card weekend, on the road kind of thing. All that has changed. Now we're like, forget wild card weekend. I'll see you on divisional weekend because I'll have the bye week. I'll be at Gillette Stadium waiting for somebody to come play me, and I'm going to have the soon-to-be-announced awards NFL MVP as my quarterback when we take the field in Foxborough for that first game. And I think it's remarkable. And it goes the other way, too. I've always struggled with the worst-case scenario. Famously, my former boss, when they drafted Isaiah Wynn, said, well, if he can't play tackle, worst-case scenario is you have a Pro Bowl guard. And I was like, well, I don't think that's actually the worst-case scenario is he stinks and he's not on your team in 2 years or 3 years, right? So, like, we throw these phrases out there, but I think the ceiling on best-case scenarios has been lifted thanks to what Drake May has led the Patriots to this season with his own accomplishments.
Yeah, I would say we have a new idea of what a best-case scenario for a second-year quarterback is in New England and the NFL at large. But then again, the second-year best-case scenario was kind of altered a couple years or just one season prior to Josh Allen's elevation to elite starting quarterback with Mahomes. Because even though that was his first year as a starter, his second year was absurd. He was an MVP.
Right, but he was taking over a team that was a playoff-caliber team. Like, that's some of the, like, Drake May took over a team that, save for that weird win late in the year, was going to pick number one overall, was going to be a three-win team. And Fitzy, I remember when he's got one win. He's got one win on his resume. And he turns the ball over more often with the game on the line than he does put it in the hands of his playmakers with the game on the line. And now a year later, I'm like, least of my concerns are Drake May. I'd take him over the field. I'd take him over any quarterback in football. How quickly we've moved on to the positive direction. Like winning the lottery, like winning the Powerball tonight.
Yeah, big number, right?
$600 million, I believe.
Wow. All right.
And that's the one I can still afford. They jacked up the $5 ticket price on the other one, so I just buy the Powerball.
Come on. Yeah, Mega Millions, $5 now.
Now, to be fair, it goes over $1 billion with regularity, so, you know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, there you go. And you lose $2 every week anyways on the parlay, so you might as well use it on something that has a snowball's chance in hell of winning.
That's a great point. I have a better chance to win the lottery with my $2 than to win my parlay on Fridays over the week. Absolutely.
There you go. That's the WEEI Afternoons difference. Fitzy, you ready?
All right, let's dig into some Patriots of the past, shall we?
Oh, let's do that. Here is 60 seconds for that. Go ahead.
All right, obviously, we make a lot about these discussions, these arguments, these debates over, like, which New England Patriot could make it to the Patriots Hall of Fame next. There's going to be a long line. D-Mac could have to wait 5 years because it's going to be Gronk, and it's going to be this guy, and when will Logan Mankins or Vinatieri get in, blah, blah, blah. And then we talk a lot about, like, which Patriots should make it to Canton, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It should be Edelman. Well, I can't wait for Brady, Gronk, et cetera. Well, there is a former New England Patriot, a longtime great, who now has a legitimate chance to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame thanks to the senior vote. They have to have been not playing the NFL for 25 years or longer, and that would be Patriots receiving great Stanley Morgan. In a piece that I read at Patriots.com from our friend Mike Dussault, Patriots great Stanley Morgan named Pro Football Hall of Fame senior semifinalist. He is one of 9 semifinalists in the senior category for the class of 2026. And anyone who watched the New England Patriots from the late 70s through the 1980s remembers that he legitimately was their first ever offensive superstar. He averaged over 19 yards a catch in his career. He had over 10,000 yards, still leads the New England Patriots in receiving yards, had 72 touchdowns. And sure, he's going up against people like Roger Craig and Kenny Anderson for that class. But I'll tell you, I think there's a real good chance he makes it. And this is not a sympathy vote. He belongs.
Absolutely. He's always been number one on my list of Patriots receivers that should go to the Hall of Fame next, ahead of Wes Welker. And those guys are both ahead of Julian Edelman. I think they have a nice little backlog here and couldn't be different players. Remember that there was one game this year, might have been the Saints, where we prepared for a team. They didn't have a single target who averaged double-digit yards per reception. Stanley Morgan averaged almost 20 yards per reception, not for a game, not for a season, a career.
Flipping career.
And I know, different time, but he also had 10,000 yards, so he accumulated a big number of total yards as well.
Andy, what would he do? Like, this is a, I want to ask you this question, then I got one for Ted. What would Stanley Morgan, prime Stanley Morgan, do if we're going to video game it? What would he do with Drake May? If he had over 10,000 yards, 72 touchdowns, and averaged almost 20 yards a catch, per catch for his career, with the likes of flipping Tony Eason and Steve Grogan, what would he do with Drake May?
He would be a superstar. He would be an all-pro
beyond Justin
superstar.
Jefferson.
Yeah, he would be up there. That conversation. Is yes. he the best receiver in football? And he'd be fun in big plays, or Randy Moss, whatever you want to compare him to, he would be an absolute superstar in here in New England.
And Ted, here's one for you. So of the nine guys that are together, I think there's that are nominated, I think there's really only three or four that merit like immediate consideration. Roger Craig, Joe Jacoby, Steve Tasker, and Elsie Greenwood.
You know, I mean, for me, you know, the two names that jump out are Roger Craig and Joe Jacoby.
Same.
You know, those are the obvious. I don't remember the yardage that Roger accumulated, but I mean, he was, you know, he kind of was the one of the main characters in those, you know, that dynasty for the 49ers. You know, you had Tom Rathman was the fullback leading for him, so it was a dynamic backfield. And he had such a, you know, not that this is...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Garners you a nod into the Hall of Fame, but one of the more unique running styles you'll ever see. If you remember what he was known for was his high knees.
Yeah, that's right. That's
he,
right.
Just, he ran with his high knees. It was unbelievable. But and then Joe Jacoby was part of those great lines, you know, right, for the Redskins?
Yeah.
So and those were famous offensive lines there, blocking for
Hogs,
yeah. But who was the running
Riggins?
Back? Riggins, John Riggins, yeah. So those are the two names. I mean, Greenwood's a hell of a name too. And I forgot what the other
Henry Ellard.
Henry Ellard.
The old receiver for the Rams, who was a hell of a receiver himself.
Yeah.
Jacoby had two first-team All-Pros and a bunch of Pro Bowls, not to mention the three Super Bowls. Roger Craig, bunch of Pro Bowls himself, obviously, and three Super Bowls. The thing about Roger Craig, same number of touchdowns as Stanley Morgan. He had 13,000, just over 13,000 yards combined from scrimmage in his career. But also, he has the distinction of being the first ever guy to get 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing in a career.
To me,
in a singular season, excuse me.
To me, that is why he should be a Hall of Famer. That right there. Like, when I think that have never been done, and I know the game was evolving, but he was the original, like, LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk, whoever you want to consider these next generation Hall of Fame dual threat running backs. Roger Craig was the original.
Put him in. You look at, okay, well, I mean, only one, you know, he made one first team All Pro, one second team All Pro. So, I mean, usually you need at least three to four of those, but I don't know. Maybe you know, you have a different criteria for these guys, but those would be my two guys, Joe Jacoby and Roger Craig.
Okay, we'll leave that one there. Great class indeed that you could go back and forth. Everybody has the resume where you go, yeah, you know what, they're probably at least right on the cusp at very least. But we'll move on to Ted Johnson here in the 3-point stands. Teddy, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So the Celtics finally got over 500 last night, beating the perennial all-stars that are the Brooklyn Nets. it's amazing to me. So seven games ago, they played the Utah Jazz and shot 51 threes, made 11 of them for 22%. But in the last seven games since, they've shot considerably less three-pointers. They were, for over a year, the number one team in volume of three-pointers shot in games just 8 games ago. Now they are second in attempted threes behind the Cleveland Cavaliers and have a record of 6-2 in those games. So clearly shooting less threes has been the kind of way to go, and I'm curious if this trend continues the rest of the way. Stop shooting as many threes, and you'll win more games. However, I just want to point out one thing. Of the last 8 opponents, everybody's getting all excited about the Celtics right now. The combined record of the last 8 opponents is 40-73. So that is 33 games under 500 is the combined record of the last 8 opponents. So I wouldn't get too excited when you kind of put it in that context, a little bit of kind of like a Patriots argument with the schedule. But shooting less threes means more wins for the Celtics.
Little strength of schedule talk for the basketball team in town. That's what we need. Jump from football to basketball.
But you love, your guy loves shooting too, so this should be great news to you.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of it. Like, your best player is shooting twos, so you're going to shoot fewer threes.
Yeah, yeah. And I like he's getting to the foul line a lot. However, the Celtics are the least amount of free throw attempts of any team in the NBA. They don't have a lot of guys that drive to the basket, well, other than JB.
Right. And with the intention of drawing contact. Pritchard will drive, but I feel like he's always driving to kick to the corner or looking to, not with like a physical mentality of getting
because
to the rim.
He can't elevate. Right. He pump fakes to try and get him, and then, you know, he gets blocked a lot of times.
Yeah. So, now, it's going to be interesting to see. Now, I also do wonder if, remember how bad Pritchard and White were to start the year? I don't know if that affected the idea that we're not going to be a three-point shooting mm-hmm. team. Maybe that leads them to, because they have been, they've gone from those 50 games, they're now usually like 39, 36, 42. They're kind of in that range.
Yeah, they shot 42 last night. They're averaging 44. They were averaging 47, again, 8 games ago. So it's come down a little bit. I think they're going to, I don't know, they haven't changed their style, Andy. They're the same three-point volume shooting team. Even, it doesn't matter who they have out there. And that's the head-scratcher. They don't have the personnel to be that kind of offense. So I'm just, the fact that they don't attack the rim more, the fact they're still one of the worst-paced teams, they just don't pick up their pace at all, is shocking to me considering the personnel that they have. Doesn't make sense.
And then
I don't get it, guys. I really don't, Andy. Like, I mean, why don't you play to your strength? It's not a perceived, it's not a weakness, the 3-point shooting. It's just that they're not as good as they should be. So why don't they play to what they can? Why don't they play with what they can do?
Well, that might be a question of Joe. Well, first of all, we know what Joe Mazzulla wants to do normally, but also he is still tinkering. I don't know if he knows what they're best at, what the best mix is.
I think
is.
That might be the answer. Like, does that scare you? That the coach doesn't even maybe know. He acts like he knows. He acts like they have a philosophy. He acts like, oh, they're getting close. Oh, they're trying. They're forming an identity. What is it exactly? What do you? What can you? He doesn't clearly, other than 2-on-1, 2-on-1, 2-on-1.
I was going to say that one rant.
2-on-1, which honestly, that is just, that makes no sense. I mean, everyone's looking for the 2-on-1, but that's just a little concept in a bigger philosophy, which I don't know if they have a big picture kind of wide range philosophy on what they're trying to do.
And at 15 games into the season, so you're knocking on this, pretty soon it's going to be a quarter of the way through the year. And we had heard that they had a longer, more intense training camp, right? More practices, more practice time, more intensity.
Yeah, JB called him crazy.
Wouldn't you thought,
good kind of crazy.
Right, but wouldn't you have thought that was to figure out who you are before you played games, right? Like to test the mettle of your players and your rotations and what they're good at, what they're not good at. Doesn't seem like they learned a lot in that, and it seems like there's 15 games in still trying to learn.
It clearly. I mean, I don't know. Jordan Walsh started last night. Did you see he only played 11 minutes?
Yeah, I think he's out. Somebody, I bet you on Friday there's a new start. That they have 4 starters now. That other one, I bet you there's a new guy on Friday. I heard Terp say maybe Shireman could get his shot to be a starter.
It's turning into the Masked Singer.
I'm not used to seeing so many different lineup changes for this team. Clearly, obviously, because they have so many new guys. But, I mean, 15 games in, to not really even have settled on that is a little bit disconcerting.
And then as far as the quality of opponents or wins, I've pretty much settled in on you're above the really crappy teams. Like, there's a certain group of teams that are going to be vying for those superstars at the top of the lottery, and you're clearly below the good teams. Like, you're just in that weird middle ground, and I think you're just hoping that at the end of the day, you win enough of those games to get into that weird, like, sixth spot, you know, or even the play-in. You may be a play-in team.
Does Tatum make you that much better, though, that you can actually keep up with some of these better teams if he's got enough time to ramp up and recover?
I mean, he makes you better, obviously. He's your best player. He's one of the he's an all-NBA player. But I don't know
not
that.
To make a serious run.
No, not compared to, like, OKC, your team, the Thunder, right? The way they play. No, you're not in that. And I keep hearing, I think Terp uses the word, the next iteration. Oh, they're still tinkering with pieces that are going to be part of the next iteration when Tatum comes back. I don't know if they know the iteration. I don't know, like, is Anthony Simons part of the iteration, or is Anthony Simons going to be traded, and who or is this an offseason where we're going to be pondering what could the mad scientist Brad Stevens do? Like,
if you're showcasing Anthony Simons for a trade, you're not doing a very good job of showcasing him.
No, I wouldn't say. I don't know what you'd get for him other than just salary dump and picks. If he's just a salary consideration going out the door and you get picks, I don't know. Yeah, they haven't done a good job of that. You're right, Fitzy. That feels like a trade where you get like 3 second-round picks and you're like, woo, second-round picks. Woohoo, let's collect second-round picks and see what that gets us in the future. All right, Dan Ball, nice job with the three-point stances. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we like to do this on Wednesdays. Our first look at the coming opponent, and well, we're on to Cincinnati. The Bengals-Patriots Sunday in Cincinnati. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.